Don't be shy. They don't bite, as far as I know. Okay, well, so let's begin with this thing. First of all, welcome all to our Chinampa. You are in the Chinampas of El Buen Campo and Made in Xochimilco, that it's our project or my project. We are very happy to have you here. And we're gonna give this little talk about what is Xochimilco, why it's important, what we do here, and why are you here, okay? So, first of all, what is Xochimilco? In order to know what is Xochimilco, we have to know where it's come from, okay? So, the Xochimilco is created by the Xochimilcas 2,200 years ago. Depending on the person that you read, because we have this anthropogenic history that is very interpretative, because we were conquered, okay? And that means a lot, because a lot of information, a lot of pictograms, a lot of things were burned or destroyed by the Spanish conquest. So there's a lot of things that we actually don't know how they happened. So depending on which book do you consult, which work you read, you will be finding different kind of things. But I'm gonna try to address all this research that we have been doing throughout the years in order to try to build this little talk that I'm gonna give to you, okay? So if someone at some point of your lives wants to read something else and then you are like, but Rafa didn't tell me this, it's because it's interpretative, okay? It's different kind of things. So we know that the Xochimilcas were these pre-Hispanic people. Here we have seven different tribes that we call the Nahualtecas tribes. These Nahualtecas tribes were seven and they came down from a place called the Aztlán. This magical place that to all Mexicans, they all told us that all former pre-Hispanic tribes, they came down from the Aztlán, okay? Xochimilcas are not the exception. I don't know why we say that they came down from the Aztlán, because the Aztlán is Nayarit, that it's a state that is like parallel to Mexico City, and we are in Mexico City Valley, 2,200 meters above sea level. So they have to climb up. But we say that they came down from the Aztlán, okay? So they came down from the Aztlán, and these guys had a very different chipset from all different cultures in the world, okay? Depending to which person do you consult, we have two important places in the pre-Hispanic history, that it's the Aztlán and Chicomostoc, that it's called the place of the seven caves, because there were seven tribes of the pre-Hispanic people that came down from the Aztlán. But depending on which do you consult, there's persons that make like synonymous from the Aztlán and Chicomostoc, like the Lord of Azcapotzalco, that it's called Tezozómoc. This guy said that the Aztlán and Chicomostoc is the same place. But most more recent historians, Spanish historians like Lorenzo Botulini, they say that the Aztlán is one thing, Chicomostoc is another, so it depends, okay? But what we know is that the Xochimilcas arrives to Mexico City Valley and they establish themselves, big quotes, because it's a nomadic people, from harvesters and gatherers and hunters, and they establish themselves in a mountain that we call the Ajusco, that it's also known as the Eagle Peak. And then it's over there, it's very cloudy, we can see it, but over there is the Ajusco. And in that part of Mexico City's mountains, the Xochimilcas go there until a catastrophe happens that I'm going to talk about a little bit later that makes them flee from the Ajusco. So the Xochimilcas came down from the Ajusco and they found Mexico City Lake. The whole of Mexico City, like 85% of Mexico City, was a huge, massive lake. Okay, when you go up into a high mountain, into a plain, into a building that it's a very tall building, and you see the monster that it's Mexico City, imagining it as a huge lake is a little bit complicated, right? Although, real, this was a lake, and a massive lake. It was subdivided in five different lakes: Texcoco, Zumpango, Chaltocan, Chalco, and Xochimilco were the five lakes of Mexico City. When it rained, these lakes just get out of the water, it just overpassed the limits of the lakes, and they united themselves into a huge massive lake that we called the Massive Lake of Texcoco. 200,000 hectares of lake here in Mexico City Valley, okay? What we have left, it's like something around 6,500 hectares of this lake. If we get together the ones that are we have left. The biggest one, Xochimilco, we have 2,600 hectares of natural protected area of this lake. Right now, if we put them all together, we have like 3.2% of what it was, this huge, massive lake in Mexico City, okay? So the Xochimilcas finds this huge body of water, and these guys have like a different chip mindset, because any other culture, anywhere in the world, will be established themselves around the fresh body of water. And this happens anywhere that you like. But the Xochimilcas, they didn't do this. They didn't establish themselves around the fresh body of water. They established themselves in the body of water. So, but how they do this? They used a plant that it's called carrizo, okay? The one that I show you up in the trajineras. Again, this is depending on which history did you consult, because there are two different ways of making a chinampa, one more accepted than the other, but I'd like to be with the minority, so I like to tell you about the one that it's not that accepted, okay? That it's the floating islands, and the floating islands are made of carrizo. The Xochimilcas take out this carrizo, this Mexican bamboo, and they start building some rafts with it. One would think you're in a massive lake, you are building a raft, you're going to fish or something like that. It's like a normal behavior, right? But the thing is that they start covering it with dry leaves and vegetation. And the weird stuff starts when they take out mud from the bottom of the canal and start putting it on top of this raft. It's no longer like a fishing raft, right? So we have layer after layer of these dry leaves and mud, like a species of lasagna, if you like, okay? That it's floating in the lake. And we have, as we know, we have like 3-4 meters wide, 15 meters length, like 60 centimeters in height or whatever, okay? And it's floating in the lake. There's a property of the matter that it's capillarity, that it's when the water defies gravity, just going up into porous materials, in this case, the mud, okay? So it's saturated with water. This thing would weigh, like, I don't know, some tons, okay? And it's floating over there. And this is 2,200 years ago. In this part of the planet, we didn't have any metal working in order to anchor our dirt raft to the land, okay? So they would tie it up with some sort of rope or thing that they made themselves, okay? And if we are Xochimilcas, we will find that, well, also Mexicans also. In Mexico City, we don't have hurricanes or tornadoes, but we have a lot of windstorms that even take out trees, okay? So if we are Xochimilcas, we have been working in our dirt raft for months, and we tie it up with this little rope that we made ourselves, and we go to sleep, and these windstorms just hit us, then we're gonna wake up at the next day with our little raft in the middle of a massive lake, okay? So how they solve this? Using a process that we nowadays call biotechnology, that it's the usage of living things for human purposes, okay? So the Xochimilcas takes a tree that it's called ahuejote, and the ahuejotes are all these trees that you can see around the chinampa. As you can see, the ahuejotes are not very tall. They don't have a lot of leaves. They don't give fruits. They don't give flowers. The wood is not that resistant. It's like a super tree, okay? But then why there's that much ahuejotes here if they don't have like a something that can give us, okay? Well, it turns out that the roots of the ahuejotes are massive and they grow very, very fast. So the Xochimilcas start planting out ahuejotes on the perimeter of this dirt raft. The roots go past the dirt raft, go into the bottom of the lake and anchor. They start growing into the dirt raft. They harden the soil, and now I can walk on it and start sitting on it, okay? We have created a floating island called Chinampa. Okay, and this is the chinampas and the chinampero system of Xochimilco, okay? Now, when I tell you about the process and I go like 1, 2, 3 and all steps, like the majority of the visitors, like they have a face like, ah, it's so easy. But how do you think about this? Okay, these guys were aliens. Okay, we are talking about a tribe that doesn't have science, doesn't have processes. They are savages going down from a hill,
No OD.
And even though they built the best example of biobuilding in the world, okay, is the only ecosystem 100% man-made that has more than one millennia in existence. Okay, it's a place that has a very interesting part of the history, not only for Mexico, you know, for these agricultural purposes that we have here. Nothing that you see around you is natural. Okay, I know that it's a weird idea. I'm a biologist. No, don't worry, I'm not crazy. Okay, but besides the animals, okay, and counted exceptions, because we have a lot of invasive exotic species here in Mexico, in the lake. But besides the animals, everything that you see around you was placed by someone at some point of the history of this place. It's the best example of biobuilding in the world, a unique ecosystem, and it's the most efficient agricultural system in the world. There's nothing more efficient than a chinampa, agriculturally speaking. Whatever you toss into the ground, it will grow. Anything. I don't know of something that doesn't grow in a chinampa. It's brutal, the efficiency that we have here. Whatever you toss into the ground, it will grow. We have been seeing all those stuff in the trajineras. That's why I was pointing out the palm trees that are tropical crops on the very end of these like metal arcs. What we saw over there that like looks like palms, those are banana trees. Okay, those are tropical crops also. And they are next to huge, massive pine trees that are coniferous, that are from high mountains, from elevated places, cold places, and they are just next to each other. And they are next to, for example, cactus that I have there that are from arid places, right? And I have seen berries, I have seen coffee trees, I have seen whatever you touch into the ground, it will grow. It's like cheating, okay? Now, don't deceive yourselves. This is a two-sided blade, because everything that you toss into the ground, it will grow. So my little vegetables, my plants, everything, that it will grow very beautifully, very fast. But also we have grasses and we have vines and we have a lot of things that harass the chinampa. If we don't take out the grass every week, it will be like this in the corners. You can't not go through that places anymore. And we have a lot of things growing here in the chinampas that harass the chinampa. One of the most expensive and problematic things to do in a chinampa is just maintain the chinampa without these things, because everything will grow. We are in a hyper-fertile soil, and this is saying a lot, actually. And this is the only place in the world that the chinampas can exist, actually. Why? Because we are in Mexico City Valley, okay? I would like to be able to, from just saying that, you would understand what I'm trying to say, but it's not like that, because often, even my fellow Mexicans, we don't know where we are. Because if we analyze a little bit the place that you are right now, in this moment, you are in the middle of one of the most, from the biggest valleys in the world. We are completely surrounded by mountains, okay? One of those are volcanic mountains, like the Popocatépetl, that are these volcanoes that are active, and they pour ashes into the valley from thousands, if not millions of years already. And we are in a very a beautiful climate here, because we don't go below zero, and we are not 45 degrees Celsius like in Yucatan, for example. We have 4 to 6 months of rain here in Mexico City Valley. The lake behaves like a gigantic compost. It gets a lot of organic matter that goes into the water, it drowns, and by microorganism, it decomposes in this mud that is in the bottom of the canal. And on top of all that, we are 2,200 meters above sea level. It's a unique place in the world. There's nothing like Mexico City Valley, okay? Only here can the chinampas exist like this agricultural, most efficient process that we have here in the middle of Mexico City. And here they build them. These guys were aliens, okay? So I'm gonna start like a little bit about, now you know where you are, okay? So this place has seen basically the history of Mexico. It's impressive, actually. We have 4 crops a year. No other agricultural system anywhere in the world can give you 4 crops a year, okay? This what means actually is that I can get harvest all year round. We don't have a dry season. I don't have to save seed for the winter. I can take out lettuces from the ground each 4 weeks, for example. Okay, it's impressive the efficiency that we have here. There's studies that shows that if what we have left of the chinampas were producing food, Mexico City will be self-sufficient. Okay? More than 11 million people will be able to feed themselves from what it grows in the chinampas. If that's not an economic incentive, I don't know what it is. But the reality of the stuff is that we have 2,600 hectares of land here, protected area, 20,000 chinampas that we have in this system, and 80% of it, it's abandoned, okay? More than 80% of it, it's abandoned. And if we take the new, well, the remaining 20% as a new 100%, 75-80% of it will be doing whatever you want that doesn't have anything to do with seeding. They are football fields, gardens for events, restaurants, bars, places that you can go to buy handcraft stuff, places to go party and get drunk, and all of those axolotl museums that have the poor animals in awful conditions. So please don't visit them. Okay, so the thing is that all of that, it's on top of the most efficient agricultural system in the world. So it's very sad, okay? And the problem is that nobody knows about it, okay? So how you are gonna save or preserve an area that you don't know of, okay? So that's actually the primary objective of my project, to get to you to know what is Xochimilco, what represents not only for Mexicans, but to humanity itself, because we are in a place that actually has seen everything. For example, 10,000 years ago, we are going to start our trip 10,000 years ago, when someone says like, you know, decades, centuries, millennia, millions of years, we understand the concept, okay? But making this exercise of what it really means, this amount of time, is complicated. So let's try to do this exercise. When we said that 10,000 years ago, all Mexico City Valley was dominated by these gigantic pachyderms that are called mammoths, okay? And we have found vestiges of mammoths everywhere in Mexico City. The most prominent one in the now airport of Santa Lucia, that also has like the Museum of the Mammoth, okay? Don't expect a lot, but there's the Mammoth Museum over there, okay? So, and the chinampas, we have these vestiges of mammoths, but very few. Why? Because two things. First of all, they are below the chinampa, in the bottom of the lake. Because this place is drying, we have now contact from the top of the chinampas with the soil of the lake. So when somebody does this like excavation works or something like that, sometimes we can find these bones and stuff from the mammoths. But they are very degraded because of the second thing. The chinampa will eat everything. Okay? It's a place that it's so alive. It's a very hyper-fertile soil that whatever is buried here, if it's organic, it will disappear. Okay? But we have found a few. Now, this catastrophe that I told you about, that the Xochimilcas flee from, it's nothing else than the eruption of huge volcano. And huge volcano is saying a lot because it's called the Xitle. And the Xitle volcano, it's a tiny volcano of 150 meters tall. So it's a really, really small volcano, okay? Of course, in volcanic terminology, okay? Because it's massive, but compared to the Popocatépetl, it's like a baby volcano, okay? So, but this thing erupted like massively. It gives birth to all the parts of Mexico City that are covered in volcanic rock. That it's a lot. We have like four different places in Mexico City that are all covered by this volcanic rock, and it was the Xitle at some point. And who was in the Ajusco? The Xochimilcas. And guess what? The Xitle, it's in front of the Ajusco, okay? So basically, when the world came upon them, they just flee from the Ajusco. They came down, they found the Mexico City Valley Lake, and from some magical stuff, they build these things, okay? So after that, I'm gonna get some leaps in time, of course. Centuries after that, we have that the Xochimilcas have established themselves here in the lake, and they are the most prominent civilization and culture in Mexico City Valley. And this is very important because nobody knows about that, okay? Because when you ask somebody anywhere, not just in Mexico, but abroad or wherever, what's the most important civilization of Mexico City Valley? And the Aztecs, okay? The Mexica people, immediately. And these guys are not even close to being named, okay? But the reality of things is that the Xochimilcas and the Xochimilca civilization dominated Mexico City Valley for more than 1,000 years. These guys are even now in the Chinampas. We have four families that are Xochimilcas that are the only ones that are allowed to live in the Chinampas because they were already here before, okay? So the thing is that the Aztec Empire, the Aztec civilization lasted for 400 centuries at most. And the Aztec Empire, it lasted only one century, from the 1400s to the 1500s. That's the Aztec Empire. These guys dominated Mexico City Valley for more than 1,000 years. Okay, so it's a lot. Why we don't know about it? Because nothing happened. Okay? When we have a place in history that actually nothing happened, they don't teach us about it. But actually, I found that very, very interesting, because I would rather learn about this place that these guys were living besides nature. They were living on top of this hyper-fertile soil with these processes, without diseases because the Spanish people haven't came down already, without wars because the Aztecs haven't conquered them yet. And we are on top of this most efficient agricultural system in the world. I would rather learn about that. That a place like Europe, like I know that some of you come from there, but with your forgiveness, you were living in a very unhealthy conditions, for saying the least. Okay? Okay, so a lot of the diseases that we have nowadays even came from this part of history, okay? And the thing is that we were conquered, okay? So as we were conquered, we are getting to have this Euro-centralized history that we teach here in our schools and stuff like that. And okay, it's okay, it's not none of our fault, right? But the thing is that this is something that nobody knows of because nothing happened. Okay, that's very interesting. So after that, in the 1200s, something like that, a guy finds an eagle eating a snake on top of a cactus in the middle of the lake and says, like, here, okay? And the Aztecs arrived to Mexico City Valley, the Mexica people. And these guys were warriors, right? Okay, these guys were like fighting, very vigorous people. Okay, and they just molested everyone from Yucatan to Zacatecas. Nobody was safe from the war to the with the Aztecs, okay? These guys were the bullies of the time, okay? So Tenochtitlan, that is the Mexica city, it's in Mexico City downtown. So it's not that far away. So the Aztecs finds the Xochimilcas. They see what these guys made, and they are like, this is incredible. So now give me some, Okay, so there are five wars that we know of from the Mexicas with the Xochimilcas. They didn't give up just like that. They fought for the land, but these guys were very, very efficient in warfare. Okay, so they conquer the Xochimilca people. One of the most common mistakes that everyone does is that the Chinampas are not Aztecs. Okay, the Chinampas are pre-Aztec. They are pre-Teotihuacan. I don't know if you know of Teotihuacan. It's one of the most beautiful pre-Hispanic places that we have near Mexico City. If you don't know about it, please go visit it. It's very nice. But it's pre-Teotihuacan. Teotihuacan arises in the 200s. Okay, so it's pre-Teotihuacan, this place. So it's not Mexica. Okay, it's Xochimilca. Okay, entonces, what happens is that the Mexica Empire just absorbs the Xochimilcas, okay, and they make them part of the Mexica Empire until our good friend Hernán Cortés arrives, okay? And Hernán Cortés is one of the most prominent warlords in history, rather we like it or not. I always make this same question because I would rather like to find someone at some point, but I don't know of any other unitary person that gets the credit for conquering a whole empire. Okay, the creation, we have a lot. Napoleon, Genghis Khan, Alejandro Magno, no, the Caesars, like the creation of an empire, we have some people. But the conquest of a whole empire that it's attributed to one person, I only know about this guy, okay? So Cortés arrives, and in the boats, they came like 300 guys. In the boat arrived like 300 Spanish people. Okay? Of course, they had diseases that represented a lot here. Of course, they had bellic technology that, of course, it had something to do with the conquest. But they were 300 guys. If Cortés had a brilliant idea to go against the Mexica Empire with these 300 guys, the emperor of the Mexica would be like, and then they will all be dead by diseases. But all other history would have been taking place. But Hernán Cortés, he realizes that the Aztecs are these huge bullies, okay? And he goes with every single pre-Hispanic town around Mexico City Valley, and he starts like doing this talk. How are you called? Where are you? Yes. They are talking to everyone, like you do guys do, seeing what the problem is, and the common problem is that we hate the Aztecs. Okay, so Hernán Cortés realizes about this. And he unites, like, I don't know, 5,500 different tribes, and the indigenous horde come against the Aztecs, and the Aztecs fall. The thing is that none of these tribes read the tiny letters of the contract, and because Hernán Cortés proclaimed himself the conqueror. This is the new Spain, and you are all, okay, for saying something. So after that, we start the colony. And in the colony, we have a process that it's very interesting, that it's called the tianguis. The tianguis are these flea markets that are like, in wheels, and they go and they put themselves one day and the other day are not. And these kind of flea markets that are like nowadays around the world. And we Mexicans think about the tianguis as our invention. But the thing is that the tianguis is not Mexican. It's Spanish. And before being Spanish, it was Arab. The really creators of the flea market are the people of the Middle East. The Spanish people have their wars with those guys for centuries. The idea, it goes to Spain, and from Spain, it comes here. This is not as impressive to you guys, but whenever a fellow Mexican come here and hear my talks, it's like, the tianguis is not Mexican? Because the tianguis is not Mexican, but it's impressive that we have this mestizaje, I don't know how it's called in English, that like a mixture of cultural traditions and stuff I believe that the Tianguis is the best example of the mixture of cultures anywhere in the world, because we have from Middle East to Spain to Portugal to all kinds of things of Europe, and all the things that the indigenous people did here with the markets that we have in Tenochtitlan, in Tlatelolco, in places of here. The word Tianguis is Nahuatl, it's pre-Hispanic, but it's a mixture, okay? It's very interesting about the process of the colony that transforms the place in order to be able to, you know, be seized by the Spanish people. After that, we have a huge flood here in Mexico City Valley. It's the flood of a... ¿Cómo es? I don't remember the name. But we have a rain that lasted for 4 days in a row. And Mexico City was flooded. Actually, there are charts of the... Even the king itself, the Spanish king itself, that says that Mexico City is lost. Of course, there were works of taking out the water, canals, and drainage that was made in Mexico City, and that's why we have Mexico.